Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another Friday reminder, e-reminder, where I'm asking you, encouraging you very, very strongly to know yourself, to look within yourself, to understand who you are, what you are, why you are, what's going on in your head, right? So we've been talking about all of this stuff, and it's very, very important. It's so important for so many reasons. And I'm always mentioning the issue of sincerity. How can we really be sincere to ourselves if we don't know what motivates us? If we don't know why we do what we do? If we're always telling ourselves stories to deceive ourselves, to massage our egos, to make our egos, you know, really, that's it, really. It's just to placate our egos and to worship our desires. And if we're always doing that, how can we even begin to be sincere about what we do and why we do it? So anyway, last week we talked about the disease. We're talking about the diseases of the heart, because the heart is very important. Purifying the heart, purifying the soul is something that is very, very important. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that only those who come, the meaning of which is, the general meaning is that it's only those people who come to Him with pure hearts who are going to be successful, right? So we need to have pure hearts. And that we mentioned that temptations are presented to the hearts, and the heart is the center of our understanding. It's where not only our emotions, but really in reality, where our understanding and a comprehension, it's the hearts that allow us to see and understand things. And if the hearts are pure, we see and understand things the way they really are, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended them to be seen. But if our hearts are corrupt, our hearts are darkened, our hearts are blinded, yeah? So we can see, we can see the trees and the skies and the moon and the stars, but we don't really see. We don't have true vision. We the sounds come to our ears, but we're not hearing, right? So this is it. We're feeling, but we're not really feeling. It's the heart that makes the difference between a person who really sees and really hears and really understands. It's the heart. So purifying the heart is very important. We're talking about diseases of the heart. What are the diseases of the heart, right? Some of the diseases of the heart, things that corrupt it. And every sin corrupts our hearts. Any sin, it doesn't matter what it is, right? Every time we sin, it leaves a dark spot, a black spot on our heart. And when we make tawbah, we do a good deed, you know, there's a white spot, right? So that's it. Brightness and darkness, that's what the fight is between, light and dark. Okay, truth and falsehood. This is the eternal battle that's going on within ourselves, brothers and sisters. So, we're talking about the. So we talked about the tongue last time. We talked about the evils of the tongue, how dangerous the tongue is. Of course, any sin corrupts the heart, but the tongue is particularly dangerous. And we mentioned about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Mu'ad, what topples people on their faces into the hellfire except the harvest of their tongues, right? Nothing really makes us sin so much and causes so much damage to us as our tongues. So you want to occupy your tongue with saying good things, speaking good things, and do not allow your tongue to be engaged in backbiting and slander and tail carrying and speaking lies about Allah and His Messenger and His Deen. You know, this is guarding the tongue. So today, inshallah, we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about today is two other diseases of the heart, right? Eating and bad company. So if you want to combine the two, eat with bad company, go out for dinner with bad company, and that's a real recipe for heart disease. Of course, when I was talking about heart disease, I mean spiritual heart disease, right? So let's start with the first one that may not be so obvious, because a lot of people, I don't think many people will connect eating to corruption of the heart. And the reason is because it's not that necessarily, it's not that obvious, okay? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst vessel a man can fill, or a worst vessel that we can fill, are our stomachs. And actually, filling our stomachs and eating too much is a cause for our physical illness as well as our spiritual illness. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a letter to Mokokis, who was the leader of the Egyptian, the Copts in Egypt, Mokokis sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam some gifts. And one of those three things he said, Mokokis sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent the Prophet a slave girl, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the slave girl and, according to some narrations, married her. This was Maryam, and she gave birth to a son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim. Right, and Ibrahim died when he was, I think, 16 months old, in the arms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he sent a slave girl. He sent an ass, which the Prophet gave to somebody, and a doctor. And the Prophet said to the doctor, "You can return. We need you, because we are a people who, when we only eat when we are hungry, and when we eat, we don't fill ourselves up." So the indication from this is that diseases and illness comes from the stomach, from eating too much, from eating unnecessarily, right? So it's true of the body, and it's also true of our spiritual dimension as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the worst vessel that a person can fill is their stomach. So this is something that the people, mashallah, the enlightened people of the past, the scholars and the people who knew Allah and knew the path to Allah and knew these paths of purification of the heart, they understood this connection between excessive eating and a spiritual sickness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not approve at all of us eating too much. A lot of people, they know the hadith about when you eat, you know, that they actually misunderstand the hadith. They only have remembered half the hadith. And there's the hadith that mentions that, you know, eating for a third of your stomach. But this is actually only in emergencies. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said, right, that enough for the son of Adam is what keeps his back straight. This is actually how much we should eat. The amount of food that we should eat, brothers and sisters, is just what is enough to keep us going, yeah, to keep our backs straight, yeah, to give us strength to carry on, right? That's really how we should eat. And this is good. This constant feeling of maybe not necessarily hunger, right? But it creates a sort of energy, a sort of awareness. And it's something that allows our spiritual side to be much more alert and be much more attentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the reasons the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually said that he even liked to, you know, to have food one day and not have food the other. Like most of us, we like to have food every single day, nonstop. But the Prophet sallallahu, this is the higher spiritual state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that what he really had learned to appreciate was the status of being either in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, real gratitude to Allah, or asking Allah and being in need of Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that this was true life. This is the food for the soul, is this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So gratitude, being grateful, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're grateful what when you are hungry and then you eat something. So a person who, when they eat, they are really grateful is the same like a person who fasted. They get the same source of reward as a person who fasted. And that's part of the wisdom of fasting. Part of the wisdom of fasting is to let us feel and experience the abstinence of food and drink. So this is part of the benefit of it. So to be in that state is very good. It's a good spiritual state. And if you're concerning yourself all the time with eating and drinking, then you will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, you eat too much, you will drink too much. And if you drink too much, and you will sleep too much. And if you sleep too much, you will miss too much. You will miss too much ibadah. But also, overeating, being overweight, and all the things that come with it, it creates within us laziness. This is part of what it does. It makes us lazy, right? It makes us lazy physically, it makes us lazy mentally, and it makes us lazy spiritually. So eating too much, that is a disease for the heart. Like I said, the Prophet ﷺ said, enough of us is what keeps our back straight. But if on occasions, this is what the meaning of what the Prophet is saying, if it happens occasionally that you have to eat more than what just keeps your back straight, you know, like you're at a wedding or you're a guest at someone's house and they keep saying, eat, eat, eat. Okay, then in those situations, the maximum you should eat is a third of your stomach for food, a third for drink, and then you should leave a third for air, right? You should leave a third for breathing, okay? So this is how, subhanAllah, this is how you should be, okay? Okay, so eating too much is part of, you know, corrupting our hearts. And part of looking after our hearts, both physically and spiritually, actually, is not overeating. Okay, so that's one thing. The second thing is maybe much more obvious, right? And much more well-known, alhamdulillah, and that is keeping bad company. You know, having bad company is really something that will destroy you. It will destroy you spiritually. Because the thing is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is a very, very important advice. Very important advice. It's like, I think it's maybe there are some things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, some advices he gave that are so important, right? So beneficial. It's like those 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. You know, he collected these 40 hadith that were so important that they almost like summarize the religion. I think this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one of those very, it's not in An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, but it's one of those very, very important hadith. It's one of the things that, you know, we should be really, really careful about, okay? And that is who we take as our friends. You know, many times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us about who we should take as our close allies and confidants. Confidant is like a person who you go to for advice. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do not take those people who do not believe in Allah and the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do not take people who do not have iman. And you could, you know, to be honest, you can include within this remit, you know, people who are very disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever they may be, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us many times in the Quran, don't take them as your, you know, close allies, your close people you go to, essentially, and the awliya, don't take them as your wali, is someone who is like a person you go to for advice, a person who is a close, very, very close companion, and someone you seek protection from and help from. And Allah says, if you take them as your awliya, they will not fail to corrupt you. And this is very interesting, because it doesn't mean necessarily that somebody who is not Muslim hates you. It doesn't mean they hate you. They're not all hate. Not every non-Muslim hates us. That's not true at all, right? And I'm sure that if you're like me, you know, you're a convert or you're a revert, whatever term we use, your parents, I'm sure, love you. Of course they love you. But the thing is that when you go to them and get advice from them, what are they going to advise you with? They are going to advise you according to their life rules, according to their worldview, according to what they think is important. It's very unlikely they're going to say to you, what does the Quran say? What did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? What does your religion advise you with? Because that's what you should follow. Do you understand? So the point being here is that if you take them as the people you go to for advice and protection, even if they care about you, they will still corrupt you, because guidance and what you need to follow and the path that you need to follow is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down for you. So it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, don't go to them because they hate you and because you're enemies. That's not necessarily the case, right? It could even be that they really genuinely care about you and they don't mean anything bad. They don't mean it necessarily. Some, of course, do. Yeah, some do want your destruction and our destruction. Some don't. The point being here is the people you take as your close friends, you will take your deen. And this is the hadith, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, be careful who you take as your companion, as your friend, because you will take your deen from your friends. Yeah, what is your deen? Your deen is the way you live your life. Doesn't just mean your religion. It's your life values, what you value in life, what is important to you, the things, your aspirations, the things you want to do with your life, the things, like I said, the things that you think are important. You are generally almost definitely going to follow your friends. And if your friends are people who love to read Quran, who love to discuss about the religion, who love to read hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who love sharing the stories of the pious people and the righteous people, if those are your friends, subhanallah, you will get so much benefit. You see, I remember, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you know, it is a real blessing from Allah that He gives you good friends and good companions and people who are on the sunnah, who will advise you to follow Islam and to fear Allah and to be mindful of Allah. And what is better than Allah gives you a wife or a husband who will, subhanallah, advise you and put you on the right path? This is the greatest blessing you could ever have. Because generally, your wife or your husband is going to be the person you're going to be closest with. You spend more time with them generally than anyone else, right? And hopefully, inshallah, that's how it should be. You know, between the husband and the wife, there is more than friendship. There is love. That's, you know, friendship plus plus, right? Who did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to? Remember, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims were going to conquer Mecca, right? And then they were stopped at Hudaybiyah. And the Muslims were so upset because the Prophet made a treaty and they were going to have to go back to Medina and wait another year before they could make Hajj. And, you know, the Sahaba were upset because they thought, you know, we could have done this. You know, we could have taken these people. We could have finished it, you know, and they were really all hyped up to make their Hajj. And, you know, they were feeling really disappointed that that wasn't going to happen, you know, and so they weren't sacrificing as the Prophet told them to sacrifice their animals, and you know, they were just hesitating to do it. So the Prophet saw some went to his wife. He went to his wife. You see, who did he go to? He went to his wife, right? And she said, well, you know, maybe if you sacrifice your animal, they will follow you. Maybe they're just waiting, you know, for you to start. And that's what he did. And alhamdulillah, all the Muslims then started sacrificing their animals, right? I'm just saying this to say, this is subhanAllah, who do you go to? Who will you talk to? Who, you know, this is how it really should be, the relationship between the husband and the wife. And this is normal to have that type of close relationship, right? So it is a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best thing in this dunya, the Prophet said, is a righteous wife. Subhanallah. Better than all the amazing cars and yachts and, you know, desert islands or youth, whatever you can think of, yeah? Or the camels and the goats and I don't know, whatever's important to you. Better than all of that stuff is a righteous wife. Or the other way around, a righteous husband for the wife, yeah? A righteous life partner, inshallah, right? Why? Because that's it. Generally, your greatest friend, your best friend is going to be the person you're married to. And if they're righteous, they will advise you with the right things. I remember one sheikh, mashallah, very beautiful sheikh, told a beautiful story about how his mum would advise him. He said, oh, my son, you know, and this sheikh was an elderly, as he was elderly. So I'm wondering how old his mum was. I mean, he was, subhanAllah, he was an elderly sheikh. So his mum must have been even more elderly. And he said his mum, you know, every time before he goes to travel abroad, his mum will say, I'm not really worried that you're going to, you know, see some beautiful, you know, European girl and marry her, or you're going to fall into some fitna concerning this and that. What I'm worried about is your sincerity. Are you going to do this sincerely for Allah? Will you say things to show off? Will you, you know, abuse your position of knowledge by not being sincere to Allah? This is how she would advise him, right? Whereas my mum, yeah, you know what my mum would say to me? I hope they're paying you. I hope they're paying you for this, all this work that you're doing. You're traveling here, there, and everywhere. I hope they're giving you money. You're not doing this for nothing, are you? See the difference? Because my mum's not Muslim. You see the difference between the two things, right? Not that my mum doesn't care about me. Of course she does. She cares about, she wants me to pay the rent and look after my wife and kids. But do you see the difference between the two mindsets? The one of the believer, right? And the one of the person who has a whole different worldview. Yeah? Do you see the company that you keep, right? How it affects you. So one of the things that kills your heart is bad company. One of the things that will cause diseases to sprout in your heart is bad company. Because people who are bad company, who do bad things, you will come smelling of them, right? Even if you don't do the haram that they're doing, you will smell of it. Yeah? The smell of it, the taste of it will affect you. And this is like what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right? He said the example of a good companion and a bad companion is like the example of the blacksmith and the perfume seller. If a man lives with a blacksmith, and it's not, by just to note, the blacksmiths are very important. They do hugely important work. They can be very useful, right? But a person who lives with a blacksmith, even if the blacksmith does not drop some hot coals on and burn their clothes, they will still come out of that place smelling of smoke. And a person who lives with a perfume seller, right? Even if the perfume seller, even if he does not buy some perfume and use the perfume, that person will still come smelling of perfume. So the point being is, the people you live with, the people you mix with, it is going to affect you. It's going to affect your mindset, your attitudes, the way you are. And even if you don't actually follow what they're on, some of that will begin to affect you, right? So this is the importance, brothers, and the importance, sisters, of having good friends, right? You take your deen from your friends. Bad company is going to kill your heart. You see, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, when people sit down and they have a conversation and they talk and they don't mention Allah, and Allah is not mentioned at all, when people get up from that, it's like they get up eating the flesh of a donkey, a dead donkey. Yeah, like eating something haram. You see, So bad people, they will not remember Allah in their conversations. You know, really, they're running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their conversations. You see? So brothers and sisters, be careful of the people that you hang out with. Be careful of your company. Don't have bad company. Don't spend your time with bad people, sitting, listening to, and looking at bad things, and wasting your time, your precious time. Keep the company of good people, brothers and sisters. You see? So good company is like a, yeah, is like a cure for your heart. And bad company is like a death to your heart. You see? So some, the people are of different levels. You know, this is normal. In this world, we have to mix with people. There are people we have to mix with because it's business, because that's our life. We have to deal with people on our everyday life. And some of this is just what is necessary, right? And some of it is, there is reward in it, you know, for even meeting your relatives. Maybe your relatives are not all necessarily good, pious people, but there is a reward and a benefit in meeting your relatives just because they're your relatives, right? And the most, but the most dangerous people, brothers and sisters, right? The ones who will corrupt your deen. And amongst those are, you know, the people of innovation. To be honest, brothers and sisters, this is something that very few people take seriously. Very few people take this matter seriously. The matter of innovations and innovative practices in the religion. Unfortunately, it's a big disease and has been for so long now. Right? And obviously, you know, we should still observe the etiquettes and the mannerisms, and we don't want to be judging everybody, right? And you know, obviously many people are just doing things because they just think that's the way to do it. But the danger of mixing with innovators is because it has a way and a possibility of corrupting your religion, that maybe, I'm saying maybe, even mixing with non-Muslims. You see, with non-Muslims, if you mix with them, you know they're not Muslim, right? You know that their belief system is different. The problem is there are people who are innovating in the religion, and the problem with innovations is it looks like it's Islam. It seems like it's pious, but it is not from the way in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is, can be very, very deadly. You know, innovations really is something we don't take seriously. And although they are major sins, you see, and it's dangerous because it is a sin dressed up as an act of worship. That's the most dangerous of all. It looks on the outside like these people are worshiping Allah, but what they're doing is an innovation, right? And innovations are sins, major sins. Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kulla bidatin dalala wa kulla dalalatin finnar. Right? Every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire. Think about it. How did Christianity become Christianity? It through innovations, through people changing and introducing new beliefs and new practices, until it became a different religion altogether from the religion of Jesus. Right? The same with the religion of Musa, the same with every misguidance. That's how it all starts. Even idol worship, that's what it started. Idol worship started as a bidah hasana, a good bidah. Oh, Shaitan came and said, oh, why don't you make statues and pictures of these pious people who died, so that when you see them, you will remember Allah more. This is what Shaitan said. So the people did it. You know, when they saw those pious, the statues of those pious people, they would, you know, remember, oh, they were so good, they were so pious, I won't do that sin. See, it seems like a good thing, right? It seems like a good thing, but Shaitan has a big plan. Shaitan has a big plan, right, to misguide people from the right path. So, brothers and sisters, I don't know, alhamdulillah, what your situation is here. We're sort of back down in lockdown in UK. So for those of you who, mashallah, are able to go to Jummah, I hope you have an amazing Jummah. I know that some of you, this might be in the middle of Jummah. It doesn't matter, because alhamdulillah, you can watch this stuff later. You can share it and people can watch it later. I hope this is beneficial, brothers and sisters. So listen, watch out for these two diseases of the heart that I mentioned. The two diseases are eating. Sorry, I just got cut off. The two diseases of the heart are eating too much and having bad company. Anyway, brothers and sisters, that's it for me for today. I don't know what is going on. All sorts of weird things happening with my internet. Brothers and sisters, if you found this beneficial, do share it, inshallah. Sharing is caring. Until next week, brothers and sisters, have a great Jummah, have a great weekend, have a great week. May Allah bless you. And make an effort this week to keep away from bad company. Yeah. Have good friends and don't eat too much, inshallah. Okay, brothers and sisters, and see how it goes. See how it affects you. See. Assalamu alaikum.